Yes. Well spotted, yes. I thought, so what? So what am I going to do on the parable of the sower? And just before I start, I was reading a little bit about this, and the lectionary that you're following over these weeks is looking at Matthew's gospel. And Matthew loves parables. There are 17, I read, 17 parables compared to the handful that are in Mark. And later in Matthew, he tells us that when Jesus talks in parables, he is fulfilling the words of the prophet. He quotes from Psalm 78, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." And so Matthew uses parables as important instruments for teaching for the church. And this is why his gospel includes so many. But as I said earlier, when they're told without explanation, they're a bit like riddles, and they need some effort on our part to work out what they mean for us. So let's put ourselves into the scene, if you like. Try and come with me on a journey, if you like, of imagination. Picture the scene. It's a beautiful day, not like today. The summer's come back. It's so nice, you think, you know what? I'm going to go to the beach to top up my tan with my friends. It's going to be nice and quiet. The schools aren't out yet. We can have a lovely time. But when you get there, it's heaving. There are people everywhere. It's like Bournemouth on a summer Saturday. It is absolutely heaving. And you stop someone, you say, what is going on? And they say, well, it's Jesus, the rabbi from Nazareth. We've all come to hear him speak. So you think, well, I'm not going to get any peace. So you think, you know what, I'm going to go with the flow. So you jostle for position so you can hear what Jesus has to say for himself. You notice that he's got in a boat, and the boat's pulled slightly away from the shore. And you wonder how that's going to work. But actually, the cove that they're in is like a natural amphitheater. And you can hear every word that he says. He's telling stories. He's painting word pictures that seek to illustrate what the kingdom of heaven is like. And the next one he tells is about a farmer who's sowing seed. And as you listen, you think, you know, it sounds like his small holding isn't great. It's got rocky ground and weedy ground, weed-infested soil, and a path running through the field as well. And as you listen, you think, what on earth is Jesus talking about? The farmer isn't, you know, throwing his seed carefully. He's throwing it everywhere, scattering it willy-nilly without a care as to where it might land. Why hasn't he prepared the soil? Why hasn't he ploughed the field first? Why hasn't he cleared the rocks? Why hasn't he tackled the weed problem? Now, as I was reading about this, I read that actually there is evidence that some first century farmers didn't plough the fields first. But surely they would have made some effort to prepare the soil. Surely. And as you listen to Jesus, you realize he's slightly different. Unlike other rabbis, he's not basing his stories on palaces and courts. He's basing his parables in the everyday, in the life, locations, activities, and things that his first century Palestinian audience would relate to. Things they would encounter in their day-to-day lives. And the same is true here. They would probably know a farmer like the one in the parable. But they would also realize that what Jesus is saying doesn't make sense if viewed from a worldly perspective. first century Palestinians, just like us, were going through a cost of living crisis. They would be horrified at the careless, wasteful, or should we say reckless way in which the sower was scattering his seed. They would have been confused by what Jesus was talking about. And then they were amazed, because despite the casual way he sowed his seed, what a return the farmer got from the fertile soil. At that time, you might expect a 7 to 10-fold return, but 30, 60, or 100 times? Well, you know what? That's nothing short of miraculous. And let's be honest, as for that awful dad joke, those that have ears, let them hear. You'd expect better of a rabbi, wouldn't you? But as you think about it, you think, well, he obviously meant something in telling the story. He wasn't just giving bad farming advice, was he? We've got ears, as he said. Surely we can work out what the deeper meaning hidden in the story is. If it's meant to illuminate the mysteries of the kingdom, what can we see? Can we see elements of growth, of decision making, of judgment, of abundance? And as we think about it, the disciples were doing the same thing, and they asked him, Jesus, what's this about? And Jesus does, well, sort of, is my argument. You could argue that based on Jesus' explanation, the parable might be better called the parable of the four soils. Because his explanation, the soils relate to, and now we go to the next slide, yes, relate to those who hear the message about the kingdom of God. Some seed fell on the path. That's the people that hear the message but just don't understand it. They just don't get it. And so it doesn't take root. Some fell on the rocky ground. These people hear the message and respond to God's word, but they don't take it fully to heart. So that the first time of trouble or difficulty or challenge, they give up and fall away. Some fell on the thorny ground. Here, people hear the message and they respond to God's word, but they can't quite give up all those worldly things. They can't turn away from them and turn fully to Christ. But some fell on the good soil, the fertile soil. Here, the people heard the message and understood it. And they respond with understanding and become a disciple, learning and growing in faith. And if they share their love of God with others, so much more fruit is produced. So what sets that last group apart from the other three? What is different about those in the good soil? The answer, that they not only hear, but they also understand. They understand the importance and significance of God's word for them and their lives. They understand that Jesus is not just another rabbi. He's different. He is special. He's unique. He is the one who saves his people, God with us. But what about the reckless way in which the farmer sows his seed? It isn't called the parable of the four soils. It's called the parable of the sower. And Jesus doesn't talk about this in his explanation. He only talks about the response to the seed of the word. But in this illustration, I believe the sower is God. God who with reckless abandon sows his seeds of love in the world. God who scatters his love on everyone and anyone, whoever and wherever they are. God who through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus offers new life to everyone and offers life in all its fullness. God's love really is for all, freely and generously offered, scattered as the sower scatters the seeds, offered to everyone who is willing to hear and understand. And as I was thinking about it, I wondered, why doesn't Jesus explain this part of the parable to the disciples? I wonder if it was because they already knew about the abundant generosity of God. Because they were spending time with Jesus and they knew what Jesus was like. I don't know. I wonder why he focused his explanation on the response to the message rather than the message or messenger themselves. Why didn't he explain about the generosity of God? Next slide. So what, you may ask? What do you think? How does this parable speak to you, to us today? What does it mean for us here at Sheldon Road as the church in Chippenham? And I was thinking about it. I wondered, is it a word of encouragement for us? That wherever we are, whoever we are with, whatever we are doing, we are encouraged to sow seeds of love. To sow with reckless abandon, loving all we meet, demonstrating through our words and actions the difference it makes having Jesus in our lives. And I know a number of people have shared testimonies at church of how Jesus has changed their lives. And it's a very powerful way to tell others how Jesus has changed your life, what difference it makes having Jesus in your life. Is it a word to encourage us to be generous of spirit, offering that same grace, love and hope that we have freely received freely to others? But also, is it telling us that just as the sower didn't know or care what the soil was like as he scattered the seed, so we don't know where people are in their lives. We don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know where they are, whether there is fertile ground or rocky or thorny or a pathway. We can sow the seed of his word as carefully as we like, but there's no telling if folk are ready to receive it. No way of knowing if it will take root or shrivel up, grow strong or be choked by temptation. But what we can know is that God encourages us to share his love freely and generously. God's word can bear fruit in the most unlikely of folk, in the most unlikely of places. We just don't know. But despite this uncertainty, this not knowing, we are called to share the good news in all times, in all places. I read recently that in a book I read that said, God calls us to be contact and the Holy Spirit takes care of conversion. Our job is to be the love of God in this world. Our job is to be the seed of hope in this world. Our job is to be the faith and love of God for others. Who knows how God will water and feed the seeds we plant through our generosity, our kind actions, our thoughtful words. Who knows how God will water and feed the seeds we plant through telling others how our lives intersect with the holy, how God makes a difference for us. But what we do know is we all have a part to play. But we also all need to be nurtured and grow in faith and love ourselves, that God's word may bear fruit in us through prayer, Bible study, small groups, and living in God's word. Jesus says to us, I am a faithful God. I will be with you always. So don't give up on anyone, assuming they won't respond, because I will never give up on you. So let us sow seeds in others. Let us nurture it in ourselves. And let's leave the harvest to God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we know the importance of mission, of witnessing to you and making known your goodness. But so often all that is only words, contradicted by the feebleness of our actions. We come up with all kinds of reasons why people will refuse to listen, and we use those as an excuse to keep things to ourselves, hiding our light under a bushel, intentionally or otherwise. We limit the scope of what you can do to our own expectations, judging by human yardsticks instead of taking account of your divine power. Lord, you are an amazing, abundant, reckless, generous God. Help us simply, honestly, and faithfully sow the seed of your word, keeping faith that in even the most unpromising of ground, you can bring forth a harvest. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen.